welcome to your daily briefing, December the 6th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us to a new day, that we can continue our study. We see around us events that are taking place, and we recognize the accuracy of your prophecies. We ask that you would continue to prepare us for the time to come, so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm sure that because most of us live in nations where persecution has not yet begun, or at least is not as obvious as it is in other places, we are unaware of the fact that there are some nations where those who follow the will of God are having a rough time. Today I'd like to share an article found in the Adventist World website. That's the Adventist World website, published the 16th of May, 2019. That would be May the 16th, 2019. And the title of the article is, What Seventh-day Adventists Face in Burundi? The title again, What Seventh-day Adventists Face in Burundi? Now here's that article. The following is a commentary on recent and concerning events in the African country of Burundi. For additional details and context to this developing story, we encourage you to also read a previously posted article available in this website. And that's from the editors. Now here's the article. The title again, What Seventh-day Adventists Face in Burundi. The Seventh-day Adventist Church does not involve itself in the establishment or downfall of governments. Its official adherence to the principle of separation of religion and state precludes any entanglements in the affairs of any government or any state. Its 21 million members worldwide have the freedom to choose their political representatives according to their individual consciences. Religious freedom, the issue which is at the heart of the current crisis in Burundi, is not only the right to worship according to the dictates of one's conscience and the right of religious organizations to conduct their affairs without government interference, but is, at a deeper level, freedom from being harmed, hurt, intimidated, humiliated, persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, or murdered. Violence against citizens to make them comply with the preferences of those who govern a country is utterly unethical and inhumane. Peaceful persuasion should always be preferred over coercion. The internationally affirmed principle of no coercion is, in matters of belief, also applies to national governments, which should not intrude in the affairs of the church. This principle is violated whenever a government tries to dictate to the church how to run its internal affairs. No government should attempt to influence the choice of Seventh-day Adventist leaders. This is simply unacceptable. If the church allows this kind of intrusion, its own raison d'etre would be jeopardized as a space where the foundational status of freedom of conscience undergirds all other freedoms. A government can appropriately object to the appointment of any citizen if it proves beyond reasonable doubt that such a leader has broken the law of the land. But without the basic core principles of innocent until proven guilty, foundational to any legitimate judicial system, the law sinks into arbitrariness. Without this basic protection, no one is immune from arbitrary accusations, slander, arrest, and imprisonment. In other words, no one should be accused without evidence. If the government has evidence against the duly elected new leader, then it is its moral duty to press charges rather than allow the perpetration of possible corruption. Accusations and allegations without due judicial process are an abuse of prerogatives. Moreover, if the government were to demonstrate that the duly elected leader is not fit for office in Burundi for cause, it can use the venues of justice present in its own constitution. Then, The church would have to act on compelling proofs that the leader it has chosen is not fit to lead the church in Burundi. Until that is proven, however, there is no basis to dismiss a duly elected leader. In the case of Burundi, the core violation of religious liberty is the refusal of the government to accept the decision of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to elect its leaders in freedom without interference. The delegation sent by the president of the World Seventh-day Adventist Church at the invitation of the Minister of Interior to resolve the crisis in the succession of leadership in Burundi went in all good faith to listen to the proposal of the minister. We reported back to the suggestion of the minister. The broad and diverse representation of leaders who received the report carefully considered options that would maintain the integrity of the decision of the executive committee of the church in the East Central African Division, while being mindful of the concerns of the government of Burundi to secure civil cohesion. The mandate of the delegation was not that of a fact-finding mission, nor was it to side with one camp and get entangled in differences of interpretation and opinions. We were sent to listen to the Minister of Interior, and we accurately reported back his proposal. We took the opportunity to spiritually encourage church members, but we were certainly not an investigation squad. The expectation of some that we should be listening to all parties in this crisis was beyond our purview or responsibility. We were not mandated either to judge East Central African Division or evaluate the decision of a committee of representatives of 11 nations in East Central Africa. In its working policy, the Adventist Church has mechanisms to express one's grievances regardless of a decision of a committee. As a delegation, our focus was to find a way with the government to end the standoff regarding who the legal representative is or should be. It would have been simple to accept the church's proposal to allow the legal representative of the church to be the treasurer of the union, while allowing the duly elected union president to attend to spiritual and administrative affairs of the church entrusted to his care. But the government's representative revisited in all good faith insisted on his own plan. In other words, in Burundi, the government decided that they wanted to assign the leaders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Continuing, the situation escalated with the government's support of a person removed from his function as representative of the church. The intransigence of the government seen in dismissing the church's proposal to allow the union treasurer to be the legal representative of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Burundi has been surprising. It will certainly not aid in maintaining the peaceful cohesion of a country to which the Adventist Church is committed for sustainable development. There are currently 23 Adventist schools and 5 clinics in Burundi. The remarkable work of Adventist Development Relief Agency, that's ADRA, is a vital asset to the country. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has plans to do much more for the country of Burundi. The Burundi government's decision to maintain in leadership a person whom the church removed from his function was not a wise choice. In addition, the former union president has been deprived of his pastoral credentials by the church he once served. The coercive nature of this imposition of a leader of the church has removed from his post is not in accordance with the respect due to ecclesiastical institutions. Empowering and enabling a demoted former church employee is unwarranted and unhelpful. He can no longer in any way represent the Seventh-day Adventist Church. His refusal to leave office appears a sabotage of the functioning of the Adventist Church in the country, where Adventists occupy positions of responsibility to loyalty and wholeheartedly serve their country. His illegal occupation of the church offices with the help of the police prevents the duly elected officials from needed access to church property. So in other words, there is this conflict going on in Burundi where the government wants to decide who is going to be the leader of the Adventist Church. The Adventist Church has decided that the person that they want is not the person that should be there at all. But they have brought the police, they have brought the government in, and the man who the government wants is remaining in the office. continuing. Even more concerning, the Burundi government arrested Seventh-day Adventist church leaders, and it is our hope that, contrary to some reports, they have not been subjected to any form of violence. This unwarranted action exacerbates the fragile fabric of a society in need of peace after a difficult past of civil unrest and tribal challenges. Seventh-day Adventists are careful to abide by the law of the land while being loyal to the beliefs, principles, working policies, and mode of operations of their church. As committed Christians, there is no animosity in our hearts against any member of the government. We will continue to respect their dignity and appeal to the best of their humanity. This unfortunate situation is wholly unnecessary and could have been easily avoided. Goodwill from the country's leaders in de-escalating the tension could be shown by letting the church run its own affairs according to its own internal working policies. Government interference in church affairs could ever lead to peace in the society. Such actions create traumas, incite grievances, and promote dissatisfactions. They are costly to a country that needs peace and prosperity. Even now, there is still time to reverse this self-inflicted wound. Seventh-day Adventist members, numbering 186,000 in Burundi, and the church to which they belong are blessing to the country of Burundi. The church and its members are committed to the well-being of the people of the country. This commitment to respecting, showing solidarity, and serving the people of Burundi is anchored in a conviction which Nelson Mandela memorably expressed: to deny any person their human rights is to challenge their very humanity. We hope to partner with the leadership of the country to affirm everyone's humanity and rights, including the legitimate leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Despite differences in approach and opinions, we owe and continue to show respect and consideration to all government officials. We believe in the solidarity of the whole human family. We pray that the leadership of this country will see wisdom in staying within the boundaries of their function and refraining from interfering in the affairs of the church. May wisdom and peace prevail in Burundi, a country wrestling to elevate its citizens to peace and life and dignity. Now, that's the end of the article, and it's rather disturbing. It was printed this year, printed May the 16th, 2019. If you find it in the Adventist World website, the title of the article, What Seventh-day Adventists Face in Burundi. And what is happening there is that the government wants to decide who leads the church. The person who the church has removed has gone to the government. The government has surrounded him, sent police to support him. And so he has taken control pretty much with regard to the leadership of the church in Burundi. But that's not the only country that we are beginning to face some issues. In the Adventist News Network website, published March the 28th, 2018, there is an article entitled, In Mexico, Adventist Church Helps Believers Affected by Religious Intolerance. That's in the Adventist News Network website, published March the 28th, 2018. Title of the article, In Mexico, Adventist Church Helps Believers Affected by Religious Intolerance. Now, the article opens up with a picture of some Adventist ministers standing with some candidates for baptism. And under it, it says, Pastor Navarro, president of the church in Chiapas, Mexico, points to the four new believers who were recently expelled from their community in San Miguel, Xipip, because of religious intolerance in the region. Adventist World President Pastor Ted Wilson and LAD President Pastor Israel Lieto stand near them as they are introduced to the church members on stage during a youth impact celebration held in Gotera, Chiapas. All right, here's the article. The Seventh-day Adventist Church in Chiapas, Mexico is helping victims of religious intolerance after four families were forced out of their homes by locals in the San Miguel community in Chiapas. Agustin Alvarez, a baptized member, and three other men were expelled from their communities on March the 15th after attending an evangelistic campaign in another community. Their wives and children were forced to stay in the Chip-Tip, according to Pastor Navarro, president of the church in Chiapas. These families have been learning about Bible truths, so this angered some, said Navarro. After 9 days of appealing to the locals, the men were reunited with their families and are currently staying with family members elsewhere, so they put them out of the community. And this is quite common, it seems, in Mexico and other parts of this, of South America. Continuing, we have been working with municipal leaders and the state government officials to appeal to religious liberty laws to be enforced, said Pastor Navarro, president of the church in Chiapas. These families' homes were destroyed. They have nothing to go back to. It is not the first time that Alvarez and his family were forced to leave their community in Chip-Tip. 4 years ago, after he and his family joined the Adventist church, they were ostracized and had to move to a nearby community. Alvarez and his family continue to share the message of the gospel. The local conference and union are making the necessary provisions to assist their families in restoring their lives. It is not clear whether their homes will be rebuilt again or the families will have to relocate, but church leaders are looking out for them and providing physical and spiritual nourishment. Advent Ken, to relaunch the youth-led one-year mission, encouraged the families. You are truly giants for Jesus because you have accepted the full truth and you are willing to die for the truth, said Pastor Wilson. My heart rejoices to see you, to see your faithfulness in God's word. Pastor Wilson said the World Church, headquartered in Washington, D.C., have kept them in prayer ever since news was brought to him by Inter-American Division President Pastor Lieto. The families were brought to the Polyforum Convention Center in Tuluxa, while the church statewide youth impact celebration was being held on Sabbath, March the 24th. More than 4,000 Adventist leaders and young people welcomed the families and applauded their faithfulness. We want these brethren to know that they have the World Church behind them, that they have a great family of more than 20 million people, and we welcome them to the church. Families receiving Bibles, and we're praying for during the program, and there's another picture showing exactly that. The Adventist World Church and Inter-American Division have already made funds available to rebuild the lives of these families, said Pastor Lieto. Because of the testament of these families, three more families in Chip-Tip community stand in support of them and are interested in learning more about their beliefs, Pastor Navarro said. The church will continue to monitor the families and seek resolutions to work to uphold religious freedom rights in the region. The Seventh-day Adventist Church in Chiapas, Mexico, has more than 230,000 members worshiping in 3,087 churches and congregations. The church oversees 8 conferences and missions, operates 1 university and 51 primary and secondary schools. All right, so now we looked at Burundi and we looked at what's happening in Mexico. Of course, there's another article here also dealing with the same thing in Mexico. It's found in the CSW Everyone Free to Believe website. And this article was published on the 30th of May, 2018. And the title of that article is Mexico Seventh-day Adventists Detained. And of course, it describes the detaining of 2 men from the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Corona, Chiapas State, Mexico, who were arrested. What we see happening in these places is an introduction, let me just put it that way, to what is going to happen all over. And I admire these people who are standing for the truth. You and I need to understand that this will ultimately be a decision that we will have to make, for we will have to stand for the truth. We will have to stand unmoved, regardless of losing our homes or losing our jobs or unable to buy or sell, depending only upon the God of heaven and earth. But it will come. And I want you to understand that if you have been thinking because you're living in a place where there is no present persecution, that that is just a story that will never happen. It will. It has already begun. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to remind us of your prophecies and to warn us in advance of all that will come to pass. We ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we might stand and that our hearts might be prepared for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, December the 6th, 2019.